are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode for Friday, November the 8th, and let's do it again with the Indiana Pacers. It's your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to be unbelievably previewing the third time that the Pistons play the Pacers tonight in Indiana. We're going to talk about a couple more of the best dunkers in Pistons history. A couple of readers dropped in, listeners, I guess I should say. They're no longer readers if they're listening just to the podcast. Readers on Twitter, I guess I should say. But we're also going to give the rundown of the Grand Rapids Drive roster. The Drive are beginning their G League season tonight north of the border. So we're going to run down what those guys will look like for Coach Donnie Tindall, former Tennessee coach, now in charge of the Pistons minor league affiliate. We're also going to hit the Facebook messages for a query about this team, a trade question that I wanted to address with you guys today as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. You can hit me up with questions on any of those situations, any of those platforms. We'll talk about them here on the show. Or you can call the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546, and let your voice be heard here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But Detroit is in Indiana tonight, the Indianapolis Circle City, which, by the way, I do recommend visiting if you ever get the chance. The third meeting between the teams, 7 p.m. game tonight, at, I think they call it Bankers Life Fieldhouse now, it used to be called Conseco. From all I've heard, it's one of those arenas that's quote-unquote basketball-specific, so it's really made well for basketball and a good place to check out a game. Blake Griffin got cleared by the medical staff on Thursday, and the Pistons announced it, but he is still listed as out on the injury report. Got to believe that that means he is not playing. Certainly that's something that could change. Keep an eye on my Twitter account and the 130 practice report that's going to be coming out. I'm sorry, injury report that's going to be coming out. It's possible that that designation changes from out to something like doubtful, questionable, or the like. But like I said, if he on the 830 report the night before the game is listed as out, you got to believe that that's going to be the case. Like I said, I'm surprised it wasn't changed to doubtful yesterday, but maybe the perspective is they're going to put get some practice under his legs, get him back into shape before he's ready to be out there and make his debut for the Detroit Pistons this year. When we heard about his injury, I said at the beginning of the year that this is looking like it's going to be about a 7 to 10 game issue. Well, we're going into the 10th game tonight, so we're at the high end of my projections about that, and the Pistons are 4-5 without him. Unfortunately, the way that the schedule broke, having an early season injury is a bad one, even more so for the Pistons, just because they have so many games in such a short period. The Pistons are the only team in the NBA who is going to be playing their 10th game tonight, and that leads the league with the most. They will be going into their first day of rest of 2 days without a game this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for the first time this season. That is the second latest in the NBA to have their first 2-game break. Only the Milwaukee Bucks, who will have a break after Sunday's game for the first time, is the only team that has it later for their first 2-game break, although the Pistons have 2 back-to-backs already under their belt, while Milwaukee only has 1, and the Milwaukee Bucks started their season 1 day later on that Thursday night, as opposed to the Pistons, who started on that Wednesday night. So a couple of schedule anomalies there for the Pistons. Not a great way to start it. Not a great time for Blake Griffin to miss any time, because so many games jam-packed into those first 10-game schedule of the season. But officially, the Pistons said Blake Griffin, hamstring posterior knee soreness, has been cleared by team medical staff for participation in all basketball-related activities and has begun a return to game action progression. His progress for return to action will be monitored on a day-to-day basis. They sent out a similar note about Derrick Rose and Tim Frazier. A little bit less optimistic on the official note for them, but day-to-day for them, and obviously Reggie Jackson's still out. So no Derrick Rose, no Reggie Jackson. Sekou Doumbouya still with Grand Rapids right now. Jordan Bone is with the team, but the good news is for the Pistons on the official injury report is that actually Tim Frazier has been changed from out to doubtful, so upgraded there. A little bit of a good sign. He might be the first one back, probably with the best chance of playing tonight. But if not tonight being a good sign for for Tim Frazier to return, then he's probably looking like Monday against Minnesota. And like I said, after that two-day break and going into another back-to-back Monday and Tuesday for the Pistons, I would be optimistic about some of these guys coming back against Minnesota at home on Monday. But the Pistons going into tonight 2-0 against the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are now 4-4 on the season, so they're actually ahead of the Pistons in the standings despite dropping 2 to Detroit. The Pacers started the season 0-3 with the two losses to Detroit being two of those three, and then went ahead and won three straight games after that. They beat Washington on Wednesday night. They're beating up on the bad teams, unlike Detroit, with their win at Brooklyn kind of the only one that could be considered a good win so far this season. Oladipo is out. Detroit Country Days, Edmund Sumner, he is out. He made an impact in those first couple games against Detroit. They're missing him tonight. Miles Turner, officially listed as questionable. I got to believe he's going to play because he played on Wednesday night. Jeremy Lamb, though, is out for the second time against the Pistons this season. Sabonis was on the injury report recently, but I think he's good to go. He's no longer listed, so he should be ready to roll tonight. Goga Batadze, their rookie, he is out with a mild concussion, quote-unquote mild concussion. I didn't know we were still going with mild concussions as a thing. I thought it was either concussion or not concussion, but apparently Goga's just got a touch, just a touch of the concussion. Like you get a touch of the cold sometimes, like I have this morning, maybe a touch of the flu. Goga's just got a mild brain injury, so no big deal, just mild. The Pacers and Coach Nate McMillan have been forced to start a gentleman named Jakar Simpson. Jakar Simpson. He started on Wednesday, so look out for him. Now that we're kind of making fun of who Jakar Simpson is, we'll probably go for 25-15 tonight. But Aaron Holiday, the second-year first-round pick from UCLA, he is starting right now for the Pacers after getting not really off the bench at all hardly last year with guys like Tony East of Locked On Pacers always kind of complaining about the lack of playing time for the rookie last year. Kind of stuck behind the Corey Josephs of the world in addition to who was the guy who retired suddenly this past offseason? Name escaping me right now. Darren Collison. That's it. Sorry. Just had it's early in the morning. Excuse me for not coming up with some names. But, yeah, Aaron Holiday was kind of stuck behind those guys last year. But now got the start and next to Malcolm Brogdon, who's finally – is kind of finding his role as they go because he was obviously off the ball in Milwaukee last year alongside Eric Bledsoe, started on the ball more so this year. Victor Oladipo, when he comes back, will change everything. So it seems like they've got a little bit of an interchangeable backcourt in terms of lead ball handlers and off-ball type of stuff. So the kind of thing that really I would like to see the Pistons do, not having a traditional point guard going forward, talking about season from now, you know, obviously Derrick Rose, when he's on the court, he's going to be a primary ball handler this year and next year. But the Bruce Brown lineups, the Luke Kennard lineups, maybe go a little bit more untraditional in terms of who has a point guard and who has the ball and who's the off guard, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, with the injuries that the Pacers have, this is a team that can be beat, obviously. T.J. Warren playing a little bit better lately. 21 points for him on Wednesday in the win against Washington. Indiana, this is off the board, as you would imagine, with all these questions going into tonight. I guess the biggest questions being Miles Turner. Will he be available? And Tim Frazier. Like I said, it's pretty much my belief that Blake Griffin's going to miss this game tonight as well. Maybe we'll get official word on that in the middle of the day. But most of the off the board in most places, but Indiana. A couple of books, I did see them listed as a 7.5-point favorite tonight in this one. But like I said, two-day stretch of no games this weekend, Saturday and Sunday for the Pistons, before returning home on Monday to play the Minnesota Timberwolves and Karl Anthony Towns. Our first look at Jarrett Culver, Andrew Wiggins, obviously a guy that is talked about quite a bit in the NBA as well. And then the Pistons will be playing the second half of a back-to-back on Tuesday night in Miami, and a couple days off after that, and at Charlotte on Friday night. So a little bit easier of a week schedule-wise coming up for the Pistons. And, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the projections, and we're going to hit up the Grand Rapids Drive roster, and also a couple of readers have some thoughts on Pistons dunkers. But, hey, you know what my favorite part about this time of year is? It's sweater weather. The leaves are on the ground. But, yes, threes from downtown, even a little snow flying around here downtown Detroit the other day. That's right. For some, it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it is ball season. Pro and college ball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel a part of the action than to have a stake in the game with mybookie.ag. Maybe you like to throw a little bit down to win a lot. Try the parlay. For instance, you like a couple of the big favorites this week. Parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. The NCAA is back. Cassius Winston and the Michigan State Spartans. Juwan Howard coaching the Michigan Wolverines. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. My tip is, if you're a dreadful person like I am, just put some money against your team. That way, if your team loses, then you win some money. And if your team wins, you're happy that your team won. So it's kind of a win-win either way. That's just how us unconfident people act in these kind of betting situations. But if you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, mybookie will double your first deposit. You'd be silly not to do this if you're looking to wager on some games, which I know you will, you are, and I know you should be. Just get out there. Do this. This is your time. This is your time to win. And use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. I know that you've bet in the March Madness brackets with your friends, the tournament stuff. But if you listen to this Locked On Pistons podcast, you're obviously very into the NBA. You know your stuff in hoops. So put your money where your mouth is and make things a little bit more interesting on game night for you. Visit mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will hit the Facebook inbox to check in with a reader there, but wanted to talk about the updated 538.com projections, the Raptor system that Nate Silver and them are using this year. The Pistons at 4-5 right now are projected to finish 35-47 on the season. So some quick math in my head means that they will go 31-42, so 11 games under 500. From here until the end of the season, Raptor and 538.com gives the Pistons a 40% chance of making the playoffs. And like I'm saying, this drives this point home for me. We're all kind of fairly pleased with how the Pistons have weathered the storm a little bit during Blake Griffin's absence so far this year. But this is the time of year that the Pistons should be eating the schedule. They should be going strong, a soft early schedule. We circled these three Indiana games with Victor Oladipo out, and the Pistons got to capitalize on it. Can't be playing thinking you're playing with house's money that they beat Indiana twice this year. Got to be thinking of the games that you should win, the games that you can win from a big picture perspective. So the urgency needs to be there for not just the Pistons, but the fans as well. Going into tonight's game against the Pacers. But we talked about my top five dunkers in Pistons history on Thursday's show, and I know that my memory doesn't go back all the way. I was hoping for maybe some of the old heads to jump in and tell me about the guys in the 70s and all that, but haven't heard much from that regard. But had a couple of feedback responses. Milton on Twitter, our guy, says that his top five dunkers were, starting from number five, Will Bynum, the Thrill. Otis Thorpe was number four, a name that we didn't talk about yet. Otis had those long arms. And, yeah, I can remember seeming like he didn't really jump that high, but he had such long arms that the dunks were always really good. And it seemed like he always had that arm up really straight and really high. And I can remember him dunking on some people as well. So I'm with Milton on there. He's got Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins, number three as well. I like that Milton recognized my look back at the 80s for Daryl Dawkins. He's got Mad Max, Jason Maxiel at number two. And he's with me on number one, and that's Grant Hill, with the artistry of G. Hill as a Pistons young player. And then James Edwards III, The Athletic, jumped in on the conversation too. He says, where's Carlos Delfino? He thinks that Delfino should be on some people's lists. So, yeah, the Argentinian late first-round pick for the Pistons remember him going baseline a few times and dunking all over the people. So, yeah, Delfino on the list for James Edwards III as well. Sekou, we're talking about the Grand Rapids Drive. As they start their season tonight, they're playing in Mississauga against the Raptors 905 team. So they released the list of their roster on yesterday, Thursday, I believe this came out. So we're going to run down the list here of the Grand Rapids Drive players. Would encourage you to get over to a Grand Rapids Drive game. If you do, let me know how it is. I've actually never been to the Deltaplex for a game. I've checked out games of the Drive against other teams on the road. But here's the list of the roster for Coach Donnie Tindall's team. Sekou Doumbouya is on there right now. Like I said, we imagine he's going to spend plenty of time over there. And, of course, the two-way guys. We got Jordan Bone and Lewis King, guys that we've talked about on this show quite a bit. And also Dante Hall from Alabama. He's an affiliate guy that's on there. Other affiliate guys include Trayshawn Thurman, the defensive guy who went to Nevada. Craig Sword, Mississippi State, picked him up from the Atlanta Hawks during training camp. And I believe that makes those guys affiliate guys as well. Affiliate players are like a next-level designation under two-way guys, obviously, but just above the just guys category, which would be after that. Todd Withers, I believe, is just a guy now. He's been kind of downgraded from his affiliate status, but is returning for the Grand Rapids Drive as well, a player from North Carolina that we've talked about a bit in the past, a player who impressed last season with the Drive and also as a member of the Pistons Summer League team. But some guys that are back from last year also include Dakari Allen. He's a third-year player from San Diego State, played with the Jazz and the Clippers G League teams last couple years. He played 28 games with the Drive as well last year. Kind of looks like an effort guy from what I've read up on him. Can't really shoot it at 6'5", but a nice piece for Donnie Tindall. And some new guys include a familiar face for Donnie, Devon Balkman, a third-year G League guy who played his last 2 years with the Westchester Knicks, the New York Knicks affiliate. Played at Tennessee for the 1 year that Donnie Tindall was with the Volunteers. Another 6'4" type of wing guy, a little bit of a stroke from downtown, and also a defensive guy, according to the write-up of what I saw. It seems like the Drive are really focusing on those defensive wings, and obviously that's a lot of guys. There's a lot of dudes out there that are like that, former college players that looking to stick around in professional basketball, hoping to maybe get to the NBA or back to the NBA in some cases. And another affiliate player that's new to the team is Trey Deon Hollins, a third-year G League guy, played with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, the Pacers affiliate lately. 24 years old, kind of a backup point guard, played at Nebraska, Omaha, a little pro ball in Canada as well. Pishon Howard is a guy who played with the Pistons in the Summer League. He played with the Reno team in the G League 1 year, but also played last year with the Capital City Go-Go, one of the best names in professional sports. The Washington Wizards affiliate there, he's 28 years old. A 6'3 guy who played at USC after playing at Maryland before that, so Big Ten familiarity. 40% three-point shooter in the G League last year, an experienced guy as well. Also, another Big Ten name that we're familiar with is Khalil Iverson. Remember him from Wisconsin, was a four-year player there. An undrafted rookie this year and a 6'5". High-flying forward from Wisconsin. Not a lot of high-flying forwards from Wisconsin, but Khalil Iverson is one of them. Another guy is Robert Sampson, 6'7" guy, played at Georgia Tech. A little bit of an unknown, came into the local tryout for the Grand Rapids Drive and made the team. So that's going to be Donnie Tindall's Grand Rapids Drive. They're going to be in action tonight against the Grand Rapids 905, the G League team that obviously Dwayne Casey and the Pistons are very familiar with. They're going to be on the road again on Saturday and Wednesday, but the Drive will return home on Friday night next week, the 15th, for the home opener against the Greensboro Swarm for a 7 o'clock game. That's going to be a pair of games in Grand Rapids against the Swarm to start the home slate, and then home on Monday and Wednesday after that as well. So some home games coming up starting next weekend for the Grand Rapids Drive at the Deltaplex. Let me know what you think if you see these games and you have a thought about being not only at the game, but also what the Grand Rapids Drive look like so far this season. But Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Again, that's Indochino.com, Indochino.com. Enter Locked On at checkout. Up next, we're going to hit up the Facebook inbox for a special question where we're going to talk about some possible trade possibilities for the Detroit Pistons. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and we're going to hit up the Facebook inbox right now at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. That's one of the ways to get in touch with us. You know all about the social media stuff as well. You can also give us a call on the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Leave your name, where you live, and your question and or comment, and let your voice be heard here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But we're going to the inbox and checking in with Bo Bradley, who sent along a message. And Bo says, I am a staff sergeant in the U.S. Army, a lifelong Detroit Pistons superfan. Want to pose a roster question and start a conversation. This is not going to be a popular take, but hear me out. I love watching Blake Griffin ball. I think he's astonishingly somehow still underrated. Sorry, Bo. But I was not a fan of the acquisition when it happened, and my feelings haven't changed. Blake is 30. He's done an impressive job of adapting his game with the new NBA and has reduced the toll he's put on his body since his early days, dunking all over guys like Timofey Mozgov and Kendrick Perkins, but his prime is wrapping up. If he's not over the hill yet, he nearly is. I think the Pistons' ceiling this year and next year with Blake would be first or second round playoff exits. As a fan, watching our team struggle to achieve mediocrity for more than a decade has been pretty frustrating. I do not think we deserve any more of that. And I don't want to see Blake's prime wasted away for that either. Solution? Trade Blake to a contender with good young talent, salaries hefty enough to move for Blake's, and a team in need of a big. Enter the Portland Trailblazers. I ran this through ESPN's trade machine. Portland sends Anthony Simons, Hassan Whiteside, and Kent Bazemore to Detroit. Detroit sends Blake and Tony Snell to Portland. Portland addresses their need for a big and would have one of the strongest starting lineups in the league. Imagine the damage Blake could do inside with the spacing Dame and McCollum provide. The Pistons get a prospect and hopefully some picks and one less year away from Blake's contract. Blake doesn't waste any more time on a mediocre team. The trade machine says Blazers get 10 more wins and the Pistons get 8 more losses. I think this is the best for both teams and Blake. A flaw in my plan is that Andre Drummond may not want to stay after Blake is traded. What are your thoughts on any type of a Blake Griffin trade? Do you think it would be good or bad for the team? Do you think Dre would decline his option and leave? Am I mad? End quote there. No, you're not mad, Bo. I think it's a great idea. It's one that we talked about a little bit in the preseason. That pretty much the parameters of that exact trade in that the Pistons would be good partners with the Portland Trailblazers. I don't think the idea of trading Blake Griffin is a bad one. I think it's one that the Pistons should have considered this offseason. Obviously, the knee situation that he had probably complicated matters then, and I'm not really confident the Pistons made a lot of calls on that because we know that they're on this win-now direction for better or for worse. But I'm with you, Bo. I'm with you completely. I think that a deal like this makes a lot of sense for both teams, particularly for Portland, because you kind of see the window, not closing, but those two really talented point guards but are limited defensively. You just kind of wonder what the ceiling is. They got a little taste last year reaching the Western Conference Finals. And, yeah, I think a deal that I talked about really on this without Tony Snell in it was something like Blake and Blake just for Anthony Simons and Kent Bazemore. Obviously, like you said, you got to get the salaries to match. You need the Bazemore $19 million deal in there. Whiteside's deal is huge, but it's an expiring one this year too. So it really helps clear the books in that regard. And then, like you said, Anthony Simons being a solid prospect. But, you know, who knows? Anthony Simons is a guy that the Portland Trailblazers have been talking up quite a bit. We haven't seen much out of him because he hasn't played much in the NBA. So he's a guy that you want to monitor so far this season. I haven't checked on him with him yet to see if he's even getting real minutes for the Trailblazers at this point. But I like the idea, and I like it. I like it in regards to Blake Griffin and thinking about the Pistons and what the next steps are. But yeah, the Andre Drummond question is obviously a separate issue, but it needs to be thought of in any kind of big picture discussion about the Pistons going forward too. So yeah, I believe that this would probably make the Pistons more likely to re-sign Andre Drummond slightly, just because he becomes maybe more of your focus going forward. And I know that there will be some fans out there, particularly the casual fans, the Detroit sports fans that aren't necessarily in on the Pistons right now, that would not like you to re-sign Andre Drummond. But as Pistons fans kind of know, that there's not really a lot of options out there in free agency, even if you do clear cap room. And obviously, the way Andre Drummond's playing right now through 9 games, you would like to have that guy on your team as opposed to jettisoning him and clearing up cap space or doing whatever you would do with the roster spot that an exiting Andre Drummond would create you. So, yeah, you'll alienate a lot of the fan base or a lot of the potential fan base in bringing Andre Drummond back, but it's probably the right move and something that the Pistons need to think about and consider. Although I will reiterate that I don't think Andre Drummond's a max guy, and they need to be tough and smart at the negotiating table with Andre Drummond's representation. But Bo, first of all, thanks for the email. Second of all, thanks so much for your service. Really appreciate that. Hopefully you were able to enjoy the Hoops for Troops event, maybe even get over to Little Caesars Arena. But if not, at least know that the Pistons are doing events to recognize our service members and our veterans. And I know we got Veterans Day coming up next week as well. So happy Veterans Day to all you guys out there. And thanks again to Bo Bradley, fan of the podcast, fan of the Pistons, for your service and, of course, your email as well. So that'll do it for the show. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be talking Minnesota Timberwolves on Monday and reflecting on Friday night's game. I'll be at the Red Wings game, so I'm going to be relying on you guys on Twitter to tell me what's going on with a lot of that. But enjoy the game. Talk to you guys later. Have a good weekend, and thanks again.